Welcome to Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. I'm your host, Damali Peterman. On this podcast, we invite you to share a conflict that you need help navigating, and I, along with a guest co-host, will share what we would do in that situation to help you reach your breakthrough. Welcome to the show. On today's episode, I am thrilled to have Helia Mohammadian in the studio. Helia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so happy to see you. Helia has been taking over the world, ladies and gentlemen. She and I met in the Goldman Sachs program. They were focusing on 10,000 small businesses, and her amazing business, Slick Chicks, was one of them. And we just hit it off. She was actually the first person that I spoke to during the training.
Yeah, I remember that like it was yesterday. I think I was beyond nervous of seeing like a beautiful, shining, happy face. Was just like, okay, let's ease into this together because I have no idea what we're about to get into.
You know, I felt the same way.
Yeah.
But wasn't it an amazing 4 months and really helpful for our businesses?
100%. I have nothing but good things to say about it. And it's really catapulted my business. And I'm sure you can probably say the same for yours.
Absolutely. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about your business and about you?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Helia, and I am the CEO and founder of Slick Chicks. Slick Chicks are adaptive underwear that are designed specifically for people who have disabilities or mobility issues. So what we're doing is basically trying to bridge that gap between fashion and function by offering something that's accessible for all people, not just able-bodied people, and really just a product that makes people feel confident and empowered and even a little bit sexy.
And what a wonderful idea. And I've seen some of them and they look amazing. And I love that you're addressing a need in the marketplace to bridge the gap between function and fashion. And you had an interesting story as to how you started your company, right?
Yeah. So the journey started probably about 5 years ago. So my nephew is now about five, and my sister had a routine C-section that ended up really not going the way that we all had hoped. She had a very horrible post-surgery. It left her feeling debilitated for several weeks. Even changing or using the restroom was difficult for her. I remember specifically having a conversation with her where she said something as easy and intimate as putting on her underwear her husband had to help her with. And it was at that point that it kind of got my, you know, the wheels turning in my head thinking, well, you know, there has to be something out there for people who have, you know, temporary mobility issues.
Yeah.
So yeah, it started with my sister and her C-section, and it kind of transformed into something that I guess today ended up being a product that's impacted the lives of millions of people.
Absolutely.
Because at that point, I had no idea that there was a large, I guess, population of people, 1 billion people to be exact, that have a disability in the world and who find the everyday, I guess, task of changing to be a challenge. Something that I think, you know, I took for granted and most people don't think about every day is they're putting their underwear on one leg at a time, and that's not the case for a lot of people. So it started, I guess, with a personal personal story, something that, you know, I saw affect a loved one, a member of my family. And then it kind of just blossomed into a social impact company that I've been working on for several years now.
I'm so proud of you. And I love that you mentioned too that people take for granted that people put their pants on or underwear on one leg at a time. And I remember reading that in your Forbes article.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been featured in so many articles because what you're doing does have such a profound impact on society. And so I'm just so honored to have you, to know about Slick Chicks. I'm one of your ambassadors. I tell everyone about it.
Thank you.
I think that it's for anyone who just wants to try something different too. So clearly it's there to meet a need for, you know, again, bridging that gap between function and fashion and addressing mobility. But this adaptive underwear just sounds cool to me. It just sounds so cool.
Yeah. I mean, we try to target people who really need the product, who can really find use for it you know, impact their quality of life. And yes. a lot of those people are people that do have permanent disabilities or a chronic illness, you know, post-operative surgery patients. But we also have a lot of people who really just love the functionality of the product. And believe it or not, we get a lot of orders from women in the military because they do have such, you know, the military clothing is not super easy to put on and off. So when women are changing, they want something that's like easy, quick. And to my surprise, when we did a Kickstarter campaign many years ago when we first started, I was sending orders to military bases.
Wow.
And I just was just shocked to I guess, learn what the use cases were.
Yeah.
You know, avid hikers, women in the military, obviously women who were pregnant, chronic illnesses, disabilities, wheelchair users, you know, baby boomers who are looking for more independence in their life. So really, I feel like our product can kind of be mainstream. It doesn't have to be just exclusive. We try to be as inclusive as possible. I mean, we're still working on, you know, our product line and iterating, but that's really the mission of the company. And our vision is just to be empowering, give people their dignity back, and just make people feel more confident in something that, you know, is a necessity.
And what
every single day.
And what a wonderful mission, Helya. I mean, that's just a great mission. And what I love about you and your company is that you've done almost everything. You know, you had the crowdfunding campaign through Kickstarter. You've raised funds also separately with investors. I know you do provide this product, your products, to a variety of different people throughout the world. And so you really are doing some amazing things. I want to make sure that I tell people who are tuning in for the first time that you can simply call in our hotline and leave a message and ask a question that you're contemplating. And it doesn't have to be a conflict. It could be anything that's going on for you and you're just not sure how to navigate it. Or it could be an actual conflict and you just want to hear from someone who's not invested in the outcome. So someone who's not, you know, someone who doesn't know you and your life already. With a co-host on the air for the first time, we play the message and give you some feedback as to what we would do if we were in that situation. So, Helya, without further ado, we will play the first message.
Great.
You have one message.
Hi, Damali. I was wondering how to start your own company or business when you're trying to address a need that you see in your community. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, that's a great question because I probably did everything like the wrong way. So I think I could speak to this. I didn't really understand that my market was actually bigger than I thought. So it wasn't until I launched my product that I pivoted and started retargeting and re-messaging everything to the market that actually needed the product. So, you know, initially I told you about my sister and that was where the concept, you know, stemmed from. But it wasn't until I did the crowdfunding, until I put the product out there, that I realized, holy crap, there's this whole like demographic of people that need this product. And it wasn't until I put it out there and people were responding, people that had disabilities, that I realized, okay, this is much larger than I thought that, you know, that this was. It's not just a niche market. And had I really jumped in and done that market research the way that I should have, I probably would have saved a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of rebranding. But, you know, in hindsight, it was actually the best thing that I could have done. But I don't think people should make the same mistake. I think that if you really, really want to start a business, look at what your competitors are doing. Look at the market. Look at the trends. Really study that and invest the time into doing that. I know it's like a lot of people are just so impatient and they want to get it out there and they have these amazing ideas and they're ready to share them with the world. And I was the same way. But really, really, really focus on and really immerse yourself into what that market is and the customers and the people. Because at the end of the day, that's who you're selling to. And really, really be, you know, at the forefront of your industry and what's happening. I wish I would have done that. I made a lot of mistakes early on. So I tell that in probably every like publication I've ever been in, I've said, do the market research, really understand your market before you just go out there and spend all this money on product development. So I think that would be my biggest piece of advice. I hope I answered that question.
Yeah, correctly. That's fantastic. Market research, do your research first. And so what are some ways that you can conduct market research?
Gosh, I think we learned this in our Goldman Sachs.
We did.
Go to the library.
Go to the library.
Yes. Fortunately for us, we're in the great city of New York, so we have access to the public library. But I think there's a lot of resources online. And don't be scared to connect with your local community and Chamber of Commerce and tap into those resources that are local. I mean, I have the fortune of being around amazing women, a network of incredible people. And I also am part of Facebook groups. So not everything has to be, you don't have to be in one of these large metropolitan cities to do this, but really tap into your local community. I think those can be your biggest allies.
Absolutely. So go to the library.
Go to the library.
Online. Old school. And what Helia was referring to before was that we were actually pulling reports from IBIS World.
Yes.
And IBIS World, you can do on your computer from wherever you are. The reason that we went to the library, especially Sybil, which is a business library, I think on 32nd and Madison, mm-hmm. is because the library actually has a subscription, which means that once you find the information that you're looking for, you can actually print it out or upload it to a thumb drive for free. And so if you're doing it from your home and you don't have a subscription, then you'll have to pay for each report that you access. And so that's what we're pushing the library. Also, I like that you said that there are many ways to obtain information. You can talk to people in your community. You can reach out to others who are kind of in the industry. You can tap into certain groups on social media. You can also ask people questions. Tell them about what you're doing. Because one of the things that Helia said is that she didn't realize how big her market was. And one of the ways you can figure that out is by saying, this is what I do. And then someone can say, oh, well, have you thought about X? Mm-hmm. Right. And so just continuing to have those conversations, caller, would be really helpful. You also said that you're trying to address a need that you see in your community. I wish we knew what that need was, but that's exactly what you did, Helia. You mm-hmm. saw a need and then you parlayed that into a product.
Absolutely.
And is that something that you think was it hard to do that? I know you had a retail background. I think you worked in e-commerce and mm-hmm. retail for around 15 years
yes.
or so.
Yeah.
And so how did you go from kind of working for someone else to pitching your own business and starting your own company?
Right. To be completely transparent, I maintained a full-time job for many years. Mm-hmm. I worked, my nights off, weekends. I really went into it very naively, not really understanding. I don't have a business background. I have a fashion background. So you put me in front of a sewing machine, I could sew all day. I can talk retail and merchandising with you all day. But if we were to talk, numbers, I was really intimidated. The Goldman Sachs class also helped me with that. But I think you just have to really, if you want it bad enough, you do the work and you hustle and you make it happen. There are so many people out there that work 2-3 jobs. And like you have to realize that like if you're not going to do it, someone else is going to do it.
Yeah.
So like understand that it's not going to be an overnight thing. Like there's going to be some pitfalls and some challenges, but if you really do the work and you really do, the due diligence in your industry, then you can actually make it happen. I went and took a couple of classes for business to try to understand. I read books. I tried to really like put myself in that world, in the business world, and really try to understand it. making a lot of mistakes along the way. But I, you know, there's so many resources out there, and there's so much power in just like talking to people, like a human connection, which I feel like we've lost so much of that.
So true.
But yeah, talk to local businesses and people in your community that are doing the same thing. Or there's so many organizations that focus on minorities and entrepreneurs who are out there trying to do something with social impact. I mean, there's grants, there's government programs, city programs, state programs. So there's access. You just have – if you want it bad enough, you have to go out there and you have to just tap into it.
That's fantastic advice, because – we don't know where you're calling from, caller, but basically most cities and states have many resources available that target entrepreneurs. And so look for your local small business administration or small business association. There are a lot of free resources available. There's a lot of training. Mm-hmm. There are expos where you can get more information and also meet other like-minded people. I like that Helia also said to talk to people who are doing similar things in your community. I agree with that. And I'd like to add, and also people who are doing things that are different, because that is how you kind of get a sense of like how to really work together and network. But also sometimes there are basic things that you need, like what phone line do you choose when you're starting a business?
Right.
And it doesn't matter if the person sells stationery or hot dogs, shout out to Diva Dogs in New Orleans, but they had to get a phone line too, right? And so the point is that you don't always have to reinvent the wheel. It sounds like you're at the initial stages of trying to figure out how that, one, you've identified a need in your community. So kudos to you for figuring that
out.
Right? That's huge.
Yeah.
Because to me, a new product or service either has to fix a problem or address a need.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've hit on one of the most important things that you can hit on, caller. Second, when you're talking about forming a business or starting a company, you want to think about whether you're going to do this. And we don't have any insight into as to what product or service you have in mind, but you want to figure out what kind of organizational structure you want, right? And so is this something you can do while you have your other job, you know, at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that you would like to start as a sole proprietor or as a company? So maybe some type of corporate form, so an LLC, a limited liability company, or a corporation. And so just sort of figuring out what is the appropriate corporate structure. And then thinking about what you need. I'm all for a lean startup, right, Helia?
Yes.
I mean, a lean startup is so important.
Budget,
seriously, burrito budget. Because sometimes you know what you need and sometimes you don't. And I can tell you from personal experience, I only bought things once I needed them. I think I had been in operation for 3 months before I bought envelopes because I didn't need them.
Right.
Everything was online via computer or phone. And then one day I was like, oh, I have to send a letter. I don't think I have envelopes.
No, 100%. I agree with you. It's, you know, I researched, you know, I think legal is a big part of it. You know, you want to be protected with contracts and non-disclosures. So if there's something that you absolutely cannot do on your own and you're not sure about, then I think definitely it's worth investing your money into that and shopping around, obviously, and seeing what you can get. But that was the case for me whenever I went out to really get my patent and my trademark. You know, I did everything that I could up until the point where I was like, okay, I need a professional at this point. So that's where I'm going to invest my time and my money.
And that's so smart, especially investing into intellectual property. So I'm so proud of you that you've done that and taken that path, because that truly, those are definitely great assets for your company to hold. And so, caller, I hope we've given you a lot of things to consider. Please call us back. We'd love to hear some feedback from you, to hear what your product or service entails, and to kind of just support you, because we're all about supporting entrepreneurs and everyone in this journey as we try to figure out how to make the world a better place. And you are trying to address a need that you see in your community. So that's kind of the definition of social impact. So, without further ado, let's go to the second question.
You have one message.
I have a small business, and I think I'm looking to hire my first employee, but not exactly sure when. Do you have any suggestions of when a good time is to hire my first employee? Thank you.
Yeah.
yeah,
I feel like we should answer this together. So, I actually just hired The first employee in my business is me. I officially have taken a salary.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Entrepreneurs, please pay yourselves.
Yeah, that's, you know, I even still struggle sometimes. I'm like, oh, I feel like I can invest this into marketing, but I have to take a step back and realize I'm doing the work too. So I've actually taken on more so instead of employees, really like independent contractors and consultants.
And what do they do for you, like just in general?
Sure. So I have someone who's my sales rep, and it's more performance based off of 3 months, just to make sure that she's a good fit and we have good chemistry and, you know, she really understands the vision of the company and how we're trying to really portray ourselves. And then I have someone who does social media, who is also an independent contractor as well. And I'm working with someone part-time as an operations manager. So you could probably answer this because I don't necessarily have a full-time employee yet. And a lot of that, we can get into this later, but had to do with also taxes because there's an entire other world of issues, not just issues, but there's other things that you have that come into effect and play once you do bring on an employee.
It's so true.
With HR and
insurance,
and just, you know, employee handbooks and guidelines. So I'm sticking with the consultant route. I'm sure at some point, I mean, we're going to be scaling in the next year. We're going to bring on employees. So I might have to circle back and and talk to you, Damali, about this. But yeah, I mean, I feel like in the beginning, it's really just like a dating game. You're trying to really figure out what the synergy is, especially if you are a lean startup like me. You know, you really want to see if that person fits in with – you know, the company culture and everything that you're starting to build and create, because all of that happens in the beginning, and it sets a tone for, you know, the rest of your company. And, you know, you're bringing on people who are going to be ambassadors for your company, and they're going to basically be a, you know, like they're the voice of your company. And now they're going out and they're, you know, whether it's a sales rep or legal or, you know, social media marketing, you want someone who really you have this, you know, this really strong working relationship, and they understand what you're doing and can kind of be your, not your crutch, but somebody, you know, if you were to step back, you can really depend on this person if you needed to.
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think what you're describing to me is I see it. I'll use two analogies. One, baseball. Everyone has their position to play. And so in order for a team to win or to score, everyone, or to prevent scoring, so whether you're on offense or defense, you have to have each person playing their position, right? And so it's always helpful to have someone that fits in with your company's culture, that's mission aligned, that understands what you're trying to accomplish. I think it's always and the other analogy that I have is just sort of thinking about your company as being an outward representation of some art, right? So just thinking of like this creation and how everything comes together and aligns to create the image. So I'm thinking about the beautiful Mona Lisa. It's not just her face, it's the background, it's the tools that were used. And so I see hiring that way. Sometimes you can do it by having an independent contractor or a consultant. Sometimes you can do it, especially when you're pre-revenue, and even post-revenue, while you're still trying to figure out things and building your company. And maybe the best people don't want to only focus on one company. Maybe they're just, you know, kind of doing the dating game, to your point, and dating many people at once, and they're not ready to be monogamous. another way to think of it too is sometimes it is helpful, and I like that you said you have someone who you're as a performance-based consultant that is on a three-month contract. That's a great way to test out the synergies, et cetera, before committing to bringing on an employee, because to your very point, there's so many things that come along with it. But what I'll say to you, caller, is I'm not certain what kind of work you're doing and what kind of industry you're in, but there are many tests to figure out whether or not someone is, in fact, an independent contractor or an employee. And these tests are something that are both state regulated and federally regulated. And so check out the IRS's website, which provides federal guidance, and they have a test. And if you Google IRS employee versus independent contractor, it'll pop up. And a lot of it has to do with control. So how much control do you have over this person and their work and the way that they work, their hours, et cetera. And so you want to definitely look into that. And then also see if your state has any rules as well, because your state may require additional additional rules be followed. But for me too, to your point, Helia, like I was the first employee of my company, right? And it was always a question of how can I get this done? Who do I need to have on my team? And what positions need to be filled? Like, so for, again, talking about a team. And sometimes you can find the right fit as a consultant, as a good way to test them out. And sometimes you have to bring on employees. And for me, I always ask this question, caller. So I'm happy you're asking us, because that's always a question that I ask. It's also very expensive to have employees.
Yes.
And so depending on where you are and the development of your company, it's an additional expense to cover the insurance, to cover the taxes, everything that comes along with it. You then need to think about whether or not you need to have a provider for your services. And I'll give a quick shout out to ADP, Chelsea Raff at ADP, and Althea Green at ADP, who are amazing people who work at ADP. I don't use ADP, so I'm not getting any kickbacks or anything, but I know that companies like theirs are really helpful in figuring out how to assist you with that, and other companies too. I think Paychecks and QuickBooks. And there was another one that had come to mind a second ago. TriNet, I think, helps also with the HR side of things. And so there are so many companies that are out there. But I'm happy you mentioned QuickBooks, because when you have a lean startup, you may have to think about ways to utilize what you are already using and repurpose it for something else. And QuickBooks is really helpful for accounting. Mm-hmm. They also have a payroll system. And if you're already using it, especially the online version, it's a really user-friendly way to kind of add or activate the online payment service or the payroll service and start using that too. I'm a big fan of QuickBooks.
Same. Right? I use it for almost everything.
It's
invoices,
so great.
POs.
Yes. I love it because you can use it in the app mode on your phone or on your computer. And so I love it. And so, caller, I hope that was really helpful. There's so many different ways to think about how to help your business grow with an employee or an independent contractor. Please give us some more feedback. Call us. Let us know what you're doing, how you're doing. Let us know if you were able to check out those websites that we mentioned, and continue to, you know, let us know how things are going. We're super excited. We'll try to get Helia back into the studio.
I would love to come back. This has been such an exciting day for me.
I'm so excited.
Being here in the studio with you has been awesome.
Oh, thank you. And it's so wonderful to have you. You have so much great energy. You're doing so many wonderful things. And
I
think your products, I know, not that I think, your products will continue to change the world, because, again, regardless of why you're purchasing them, they're just great quality products that I think anyone can find utility for. So thank you. And thank your sister for giving you that idea. So
thank you.
Audience, I want to thank you for tuning in. Callers, thank you so much for calling. Please get back to us and let us know if you were able to utilize some of the insight that we provided. And Helia, thank you again for being here today. You've just been phenomenal.
Thank you for having me. It's been great. Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day. Do you have any barriers that we can help you break through? If so, you can leave a brief message at 646-363-6322 or on our interactive blog at www.breakthroughadr.com. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at the @BREAKTHROUGH AAR. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Although I am a lawyer, mediator, and an educator, and many of my co-hosts will represent various professions, we want to be clear that we are not providing legal advice, counseling, or suggestions. Our goal is to provide a roadmap for conflict resolution to generate future conflict resolvers. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day.